Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are we doing today? All right. Who here is ready to praise God today? Okay, there's a couple of you over here. Who here on this side is ready to praise God? Awesome. We're going to get started here with a new song. So I just want you guys to get ready, and we're about to get started. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, on earth as it is. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. great. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. All right, we're going to declare this next part. It's really easy. It just says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I want to hear you guys declare this for our church and for our generation. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Everyone give a shout for Jesus. Give him your highest praise today. He deserves our highest praise. He's so good.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I praise your name. I praise your name. Hallelujah. Holy, holy. You are worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Holy, holy. You are worthy
Oh, glory of your name be lifted high for all the world to see. Your name is all we need. Your name is all we need. Eternal King, you will reign forever, and we will sing the glory of your name. Be lifted high for all the world to see. Your name is all we need. Your name is all we need.
Salvation is Praise the Lord. You know, I was teaching this morning in we pray at 7:15. You know, sometimes we come to church and turn to someone and say, I'm glad you're in church. Amen. But it's not just coming to church. You know, I want to remind you that don't look at the things which can be seen, for they're temporary, but the things which cannot be seen, they are eternal. And one of the things that I'm reminded of consistently is in the book of Isaiah, where the Bible says that the angels stand around the throne of God shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Now in our time, that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But in eternal time, it never ceases. And what's amazing is the reason they're doing that is because they're in the presence of God himself. And sometimes I think our lives are so busy. Turn to someone and say, lives are busy. We all have distractions. Is that true? How many of you have had a distraction? Amen. Distractions in our lives. Things going on. You fought with your wife on your way to church. Your kids. The kid pooped in the backseat of the car. You knew it, man. You knew it was coming. But when we get here, it almost like takes three songs just to get us focused back on Jesus. And I want to remind you that there's a gallery here. Many, many years ago, we had a lady named Katie Souza come and preach at the church. Some of you remember? And her worship leader was one who, there are three levels in discerning of spirits found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. One of the levels, the deepest level of discerning of spirits, is the ability to see literally in the spirit realm. That is to see angels and demons. And there are people that see that on a consistent basis. And she said, Pastor, I have not seen in many years the amount of angels that are in a sanctuary as they are at his tabernacle. She said, it's like they're on a balcony, just all lined up across the top. Because what I love about this place is when we sing about how much we love Jesus, it's not fake. We're really not good religious folk. Can I hear an amen? So we mean it. But what happens is sometimes we are so distracted we come to the house of God that we're not really touching heaven. We're singing words. Well, I don't know about you. I want the balconies filled. Amen. The angels come when we start singing about Jesus. Not just singing about a name, not just singing a song, but literally when we start really entering into his presence, the angels, they want to pay attention because you know they can't sing the way we sing. Angels cannot sing a redemptive song. Angels cannot sing about the blood. They've never experienced it. Only you and I, the saints. And then what happens as the balconies are filled and heaven is paying attention, God says, I'm looking for those who will worship me in spirit and in truth. That means he's literally actively looking on the planet. Who's worshiping me? Who's worshiping me? And when he pays attention, listen, we stop heaven. Not only the balconies get filled with the angelic beings, but then the very tangible presence of God starts to ascend in the sanctuary. The Bible says in Chronicles that the presence of God, the glory of God was so thick that they could not even stand in the room. And I want you to hear me. Songs are nice, but baby, I want the balconies full. Amen. I want God's tangible power to be felt in his sanctuary so that not one could leave and say, yeah, I went to church today. Now listen, I don't care if you go to church today because that's just a building. You're the church. And I want God so tangible in your life when you leave this place that you'll say, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than anything else. I just want to be where God's presence is. And so hear me now. I just want to encourage you next week when we come to the house of God, can you be pre-prepared? Amen. How many of you got dressed today? Can you turn to someone next to say, thank you, Jesus. Do you realize that you got prepared to leave your house? Can I get you to prepare to come to the house? And I'm not talking your clothes. The Bible says, put on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. We bring the sacrifice of praise to the house of the Lord. That when we come to the house of God next Sunday, it will, listen, the moment we step in, the tangible anointing will already start to move. It's the preparation. Not just coming, preparing the place. And where's the residence? Right here. For you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Just to throw a few things out, God's healing a few folks. Somebody has in their left shoulder, right here. It feels like a fire, man. It's not like a normal tear. It's a fire in your shoulder. God is healing you. There's another individual also. You're having pain on above your left eyebrow. And I'm assuming it's a headache of some type. But God is healing you, and you've been struggling with it for a very long time. Also, a person on the 1 o'clock on your left kneecap. You have a lot of pain, and God is restoring you right now in the name of Jesus. You know, I want you to know that no matter what your sickness is in your body, God loves you and He'll heal you right here in His presence. What I love about God is that you don't even need to have anybody lay hands on you. You just need to be where He is. Amen? So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for Your tangible presence. Now, God, we thank You that You're in this room. Lord, our hunger and our thirst after You is more than anything else. And we ask that You'll stir our hearts to hunger for You more. We want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of His great love, so rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him more of me. Lord, we just want to thank You that this morning You hear us, that it's not a religious session, but literally heaven is paying attention. God, hear us. We love You. And we thank You. We thank You for loving us first. We thank You, Father God, for loving us so much that even when we were in our trespasses and sin, You sent Your Son for us. Thank You. Thank You that when we gave our hearts to You, Jesus, that You washed every single sin away and we started brand new. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You that You said, You'll be here. God, our hunger is for more of You. More, Jesus. We want more of Your presence. Because, Lord, we are just not interested in religion. We want You. So we position ourselves right now. We posture ourselves in the Spirit. We will never allow a rock to cry out for us. You deserve it all from our mouths. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Can on your way back to your chair, can you tell 5 people you don't know? Now listen now, we all go to the folks we do know. Go to 5 people you don't know and say, no rocks crying out for me. Come on, go find 5 people you don't know and say, no rocks crying out for me. I'm going to praise Him with all of my heart.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. It's time to head back to your seats and get ready for this morning's announcements.
Peeps, listen, we have Next Steps classes happening every single week. Every Tuesday night, 7 p.m., Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., and Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here at the Horseheads campus. We're also holding them on Thursday nights up in Ithaca at 6 p.m. So make sure you join a Next Steps class.
Dude, you're on a group set, which means you have to do a group's commercial.
Oh my, wow. Okay, here it is. 3, 2, 1. Hey, listen, family, if you have yet to connect into a group, make sure you get connected. We are a family and we're gonna go together. So make sure you come and see us at the group desk in the foyer and sign up for a group. Wow, okay, you know what? I'm done.
Hey everybody, our next baptism service is April 28th. You do not want to miss it. It's going to be so powerful. Get signed up in the foyer and get your breakthrough.
My name is Pastor Michael Spencer, and this is my beautiful wife, Rhonda. We're the senior pastors of His Tabernacle Family Church.
We want to invite you and your family to our Easter weekend. Saturday, April 20th at 10 a.m. is our annual helicopter egg drop. And then on Sunday morning, 9 and 11 a.m., our production, Truth Exposed, with a kids' choir and petting zoo.
We'll see you in just a little bit.
Oh, there we go. Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are you feeling today? Guys, I have a moment of honesty. I almost forgot that I was doing announcements and I was in the back. I had to run up here. I was scared to death. I thought I was going to miss it, be all out of breath. Super embarrassing. Let everyone know I don't do cardio. But hey, we want to say thank you so much for being here today. And we're just a family. We love everybody. We're so happy that you can be here today. And we want you to feel like the family of God is saying thank you for showing up. So maybe today is your first time ever being here. We want to say thank you for being a guest with us. And we have a small gift for you, and we want to invite you over to our guest reception with some of our pastors and staff so we can get you connected, answer any of your questions. So if this is your first time being here, we just shoot your hand in the air real quick so we can give you the proper information and connect you to the family of God. The worst thing you can do is just be here and kind of feel like you blended in. We don't want that at all. A family, everyone's recognized. Go ahead and keep your hand up for a second. Sometimes they got to look around. Hey, Michelle, right up here in the front. Awesome. Man, are you related to Abe? My goodness, you guys are a spitting image. I love it. That's so cool. Will you guys put your hands together for them real quick today? Awesome. Thank you for being here. If you're watching live stream, welcome, welcome. Thank you for coming on. You can go ahead and host a watch party, share with a friend. But just let people know that Jesus loves them. And let's get the word out because there are a lot of people that need to know about this Jesus we serve. Two quick pastoral announcements. Number one, you say number one? Number one is right after second service, Pastor Aaron is going to be stuffing Easter eggs. And you're like, yeah, cool, Easter eggs. No, like 30,000 Easter eggs, I think. A couple Easter eggs. But you know what's so cool about this is when we did the helicopter drop 2 years ago, there was like 2,000 people here almost. It was insane. And they got the gospel preached to them. So we're not just stuffing eggs to give out candy. We're stuffing eggs so we can share the gospel with people. And if you want to be a part with that, you can just stay after second service, meet up with Pastor Aaron. The next announcement, say number two. Come on, number two. Is worship team is selling beautiful homemade candles right in the foyer afterwards, and you can go head out there and grab some, and I think you can even take them home today, which is awesome. Oh, no, I lied, you can't. Sorry. Ill-informed, sorry. There's candles, they smell good. That's what you do need to know. Hey, we open up your Bible real quick to Luke chapter 16. Maybe open it, maybe turn it on, however you use your Bible here at church. But Luke chapter 16, verse 10.
And I want to read this together because I think it's so important because we are a Bible-based church, man. The Bible is the truth, right? Can we agree the Bible is the truth all the time, every time? It is what we live on, what our standard is. It is the Bible. And this is what the Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 10. It says, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much. And he who is dishonest in a very little thing is also dishonest in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the use of earthly wealth, who will entrust the riches to you?" See, guys, today I don't want to talk about just us. I want to talk about the church as a whole, not just our church, but nationally. The average is almost only like 12 to 18% of people in church give. And Jesus spoke and Jesus taught that we're to tithe, which is a measly 10%. It's nothing. In reality, some of us spend 10% on Dunkin'. It's true. I'm not even firing shots. I thought it was going to be funny. But for real, sometimes Dunkin' just eats. I had a story, but I can't tell a story because we got to move on. But look, most of us, what happens is we stumble over the little. It's wild when in comparison, when we realize that oftentimes in obedience, we trip over 10% when God still wants to place 90 in our hands. It's interesting because really, like, even this 10%, the measly 10%, imagine like 10% of your steak is like one bite to my daughter. It's nothing really. Like, I'm not even going to notice it's gone. But this 10%, even how small it is, it's a representation of where our heart is, right? 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14, it says that everything in the world is the Lord's. So in reality, we're not giving him our 10%. We're giving him his 10%, showing him that we trust him, that we love him, that we place him above what he's trusted us with. And a lot of the time we pray for increase and we work hard for increase. Can I tell you the greatest and quickest way to increase? It's simple, ready? Honor God and he'll honor you. Honor God and he'll bring you success. Honor God and he'll advance you, because if he can trust us with the little, he'll trust us with much. And I want to be able to stand in front of God. And I know you want to be able to stand in front of God and say, "God, I know that you can trust me with little. Not for my advancement, not, but for your kingdom." And it's crazy because really, like, if we can't trust him with a measly 10%, I guess the question is, how could we actually trust him with eternity? So if it's hard to trust with small things, how can we trust with such a massive thing? See, I just want to challenge this, man. I just want to be obedient to God. I want to trust God. I want to have faith fully in what God has as a body. I want to go all in with Jesus. I don't want to just be sporadic. I don't want it to be when I can. No, I want it to be every single day. When it doesn't look good, no, God, I trust you. When it looks great, God, I trust you. When it's just mundane and in the middle and nothing crazy is going on, God, I trust you even right here with a measly 10%. Amen. I'm going to read this real quick and then we're good. Ready? Money is less about taking from us and more about checking our heart condition. So all it is. It's just God checking in on our heart. Every week, do you still trust me? Do you still trust me? Do you still trust me? And keeping in alignment and realizing he's the one that gave us the job. He's the one that gave us the time. He's the one that's given us the increase. And that all increases from the Lord. Amen. Today, I just really want to encourage you. It's only 10%. Maybe saying, "Oh, I don't have 10%. Start where you can. "Well, I've never given. Start today. The only thing worse than never starting is regretting that you didn't in 20 years. Today, I want to be a body, and I want to challenge us to be a body that says, "God, I trust you no matter what. God, I know that it's you that brings my increase. I know it's you that gives me the opportunity." So can we stand together today as we give our offering, as we give to the Lord, as we say, "God, I know it's you. I know it's only you and it's always you. And Pastor Rhonda, I need you for the supernatural blessing because I always forget it because I'm not good at it." And she's better. She's just better at it. Will you put your hands together for her real quick? Come on, we're going to say this together in faith.
Deuteronomy 28 says, "If I obey, chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Your name, our Father, who is in heaven. Hallowed be your name, our Father, who is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, let that has breath, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, praise the Lord.
Good morning, family. How is everybody this morning? I'm not telling you my name because he wants me to tell you. We're just going to invite all of the staff out here for a moment. Today is a very special Sunday. Today, not only is it going to be 70 degrees,
praise God,
but our pastor is also celebrating 70 today.
Yeah!
I'm just kidding. Sometimes it may seem like he's been in the ministry for 70 years. Pastor, come on up here. Everybody give him a round of applause. So the first thing we have to do is we have to all stand up, and we're going to sing happy birthday to our pastor. Ready, guys?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Listen, I know I'm joking around, but I only get once in a while that I can do that and give it back because he gives it to me all year. So we're going to do something very special just to honor you this morning. And, you know, we want to thank you for just being obedient to the vision that God placed with you many, many years ago. And it's been such a long time now, hasn't it? But every day, you know, the ministry is growing and building and changing, and people are coming in and they're just being so blessed by the ministry that long, long ago God gave to you, and you've been obedient to follow through. So we want to thank you for that. So this morning, if the ushers would come out, if you've brought a gift for our pastor this morning, we're just going to receive that the same way we would do offering. And we just pray that you have a blessed birthday week.
Thank you.
And that next year I get to pick on you again.
It is a tremendous blessing, actually, to be your pastor, and I don't want to get old. It's been 21 years, and Josiah has been with us 21 of those 21 years.
A very long time.
Very long time.
You know what's exciting is to look behind you and see the amount of staff that's on this stage. Because, you know, back when they first started, it was just them and a couple other people
and
in
Josiah.
The office. And mostly Paulette, I think.
Yeah, it was my mother-in-law.
Was doing everything.
She was doing everything.
So what a blessing to see how it's grown and the ministry has continued on.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So thank you so much.
If you'll just come forth this morning, if you have a gift to give to the pastor, we'll do it the same way we do offering.
Can I pray a blessing as you're coming? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for the principle of sowing. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for those that are sowing into my life this morning. And I just release harvest back into their life in Jesus' name. So, Lord, I just thank you for all those, Lord, that are sowing. And I just appreciate it so much. In the name of Jesus, amen. We love you too.
Who is in heaven? Hallowed be your name, our Father. Who is in heaven? Hallowed be your name. Your name is great and greatly to be praised.
You have your own microphone, Rhonda. It's gone. Praise the Lord. Today we get to, how many of you are excited about the year of the next level? How many have already seen next level coming into your life? We're getting ready to do a few week series on the other side or the next level in relationships. And a lot of people say to me, well, I'm not married. What's this have to do with me? Everything. Because if you're not married, this might be the reason you're not. I'm getting there, Rhonda.
The other side.
If you are married and you're struggling, this might be what's going on. And if you're single and want to get married, you better figure this out. Amen. So we're going to give you basic biblical principles. Now, some of you have already seen this message. We preached it, I believe, 5 years ago. Isn't that crazy? 5 years ago. But you know, we can't go where we need to go in the next few weeks without laying the groundwork of this message today. So today we're going to be sharing with you the difference between a man and a woman. When a man... You guys all right? You say, we're going to have a choir. Listen now, Miss McKenzie, did you hear all those people sing? Open your Bibles with me this morning to Psalms 139, verse 14. The Bible says very clearly, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous. Turn to someone and say, you are marvelous. Come on, tell somebody else, you are marvelous. How do I know you're marvelous? God said you're marvelous. God said that marvelous are your works, and you and I are his works. The Bible says we are his workmanship. Isn't that great? God's been working on you. Somebody saying amen, 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 amen. That my soul knows very well. You know, my wife and I, when we get arguing, do anybody argue with your spouse? I guess I'm the only one. When we're done arguing, sometimes I'll just look at her and say, I would never be a woman. I would never want to be a woman. And she would say to me, I would never want to be a man. You know, I look at what the ladies go through. Ladies, I love you. But what you go through, God bless America. I would never want to be a woman. Dear Lord. But you know something's happening right now in our world. And that there is a massive attack on God's creation. God's creation is fearfully and wonderfully made. And the attack is that there's a mindset of multiplicity of genders. I did some study. In 2019, there are about, recorded in their own mind, 112 different genders. There's a problem with that, because God created two. Amen. God said there's a man and there's a woman. And you know, in today's churches these days, most pastors don't want to touch this subject because we'll offend people. But I'm not here to offend you with my words. I'm here to offend you if it is necessary to realign you with God's word. Because God's word is yea and amen. Amen. God is not an accidental God, and he made two genders back when he created and then decided we needed another 110. God made man and woman different. And not just with genitalia. Amen. Women are crazy.
No, not at all.
Men, you abandoned me at my most needed moment. There is a massive difference between a man and a woman. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 through 28. And I want you to know God created it this way. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the cattle of all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female God created. Amen. Genesis 2 verse 18. And God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.
Amen.
Amen. You like that part, didn't you?
I do.
God's word is good. Genesis 2, 21 through 25. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, not one of his feet. Now, ladies, you missed your moment. I'm not giving it back to you. God closed him up after he took the rib and put flesh in it. And then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. And they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked. Both naked, wife, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Amen? Amen? You see, there is no shame in God's order.
That's right.
When you're out of order, there is always shame. See, God made man and woman different because he has different purposes for them in his kingdom. He did not create them the same. And when I'm talking, listen now, the first thing we think about is, the body. And the body is completely different. And I thank God that my wife she's really cute. I was talking to one of our pastors, our pastor in Kentucky one day. And he said, Pastor, I'm going to start doing commercials, to start encouraging people to come to church. I said, don't talk, just let your wife talk. And he said, why? I says, because you're not pretty at all, brother. You're just not pretty at all. And I said, that's what you'll notice in most commercials. Pastor Rhonda does all the speaking because she's cute and I ain't. Amen? The good part about genders is that there used to be this philosophy within the church world that woman was less than man because she came out of the side of man. But I want you to hear me today that that is not true at all. God does not love one person more than he loves another. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Diversity is our strength. And thank God for women in our lives. Can I hear every man with great wisdom say amen?
Amen.
Wow, that was loud.
Good job.
It's important to recognize that we need woman in our life.
Amen. It's not good.
Whoa, man. We need women in our life. They bring balance to our life. You know, it's funny. My wife preached in Ithaca about two to three weeks ago. And a person literally got up and left the service. And they left the service because she was preaching. And they said women should not preach. Women should not have any position like that in the church. And I want you to realize that there is a philosophy out there. And what it does is it shows that women are less than men. And I want you to know that women are not less than men. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Ladies, you missed number two. That was number two you missed. Women are not less than men. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
God does not love men any more than he loves women.
Amen.
Amen. I'll prove it to you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 28. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you who were baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave, nor free, nor male, nor female. For you are all one in Christ. Amen. God does not have a prejudice when it comes to genders.
Hallelujah.
Oh, by the way, just want to say it one more time. Come to genders, meaning two. Not 112. Amen.
Amen.
You see, the world strives and the diabolical strives to eliminate what God said is good. I want you to recognize after man and female were created, God said it was good. That means his creation was correct. What happens is this, is you'll always find that the enemy never runs around in a little red suit and a pitchfork, but what he strives to do is he tries to demean what God has made good. You know, listen now, sex is good. I guess we need a whole week on sex. Sex is good. I'll say it one more time. Some of you men better speak up or you ain't getting none for a long time. I said sex is good. In its correct godly context. I knew it was going to get quiet on that one. I knew it. You see, when God made sex, he made sex good. But when it's used in the godly manner, that's when God's print goes on it. And God says, this is what I created. I created it good. God created man and woman good, and the enemy is striving to deteriorate what God has said is good. Because if we have 112 genders, how many of you are confused? I'm not confused.
Right.
I went to the bathroom this morning and I'm clear. I'm a guy. How you doing, Ron? The issue is that if the enemy can deteriorate what God has created, then God's purpose also gets deteriorated. See, you cannot go to the next level in relationships unless you understand how God created correctly. When you understand how God created correctly, that he created two genders, male and female.
Yeah.
That he did not create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. Listen, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm telling you the facts. That homosexuality is a sin. Now, it's no more of a sin than lying. It will send you to the same location, and God can set you free no matter what you're struggling with. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
It's important. The church don't like to cover these topics, but if we're going to go to the next level in relationships, then we have to understand how God did this. By the way, we're not the creator. God's the creator.
Yeah.
By the way, we're not the one who said, let there be. He's the one who said, let there be. So we're not the one who tells God how he runs his kingdom. He's God. We're not. He's the creator. We're not. What he said is good is good. What man says is good. Let's get real. The Bible says in the last days, good shall be called bad and bad shall be called good. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man that leads to death. So we can't and do not have the right to think how we want to when it comes to this topic. We've got to believe what God's word says. Can I hear an amen or oh my? There are basic differences with male and female besides genitalia. The largest difference is how we think. Dear Lord. You ever just look at your at the female or the male that's in your life and go,
yeah.
I mean, there are no words. That's all you get. You just look at him, it's like, ah. Now, if you've been married for a long time, you've learned not to show that. You just go like this. Because you don't want to die. But we think different. God created us different. And the different is allowing God to bring balance to our life so that we aren't stupid. Amen. So my wife's going to break down the main difference between a woman, and then I'll cover the man.
Excellent. So what's in this for you today is that we're going to learn that the differences are good. It's been used to divide man and woman for so long, and it's God's intention. He created us this way, not to divide us. So today, I pray that there's some understanding that comes, and it brings unity back to even any of your relationships, male and female. So women think differently than men. Amen? It's like a completely different language. I mean, there are times where I can literally cannot even understand the concept or where he's coming from when he's communicating with me. And I know it's the same with him, because he already told you that women are crazy because they can't understand the opposite language. And so this is like a woman's beautiful, wonderful mind. Isn't that sparkly and shiny and wonderful? God made you so beautiful, fearfully and wonderfully. With a woman's brain, everything is connected. And it's driven by emotions. Women emote, and men say what they think. So my husband might come to me and ask me if I picked up the dry cleaning today. And my response would be, oh my goodness, while I was driving, there was this kitty cat that ran out in front of the road, and I had to swerve, but I didn't want to swerve because I know I'm supposed to just keep going straight, and because you told me that that's what you're supposed to do. And then when I got to the dry cleaners, oh, I saw Susie, and she had this prayer request, and I was able to pray with her, and it was so good. And he only wants to know if his dry cleaning was picked up or not. And he's sitting there thinking, she's crazy.
She's crazy.
But we communicate with every single thing is connected. The cat running across the road is connected to me picking up his dry cleaning. It's all connected, every portion of it. So gentlemen, here's just a tip and an idea. We were created this way. It's not that we are crazy, okay? It would be wonderful if you would just listen. Just understand. We'll get to the point. You'll find out if I picked up your dry cleaning or not. Just entertain us by listening. We know it's not how you communicate. It's not even how you shop. I mean, my husband, when I go into a store and I want to shop, I want to look around. I want to browse. I want to walk.
Listen, I'll tell it the way it really is. She walks into JCPenney. She finds the outfit she wants. Then she walks the rest of the mall for an hour and a half, comes back to JCPenney's and buys the same outfit.
Exactly.
Don't tell me that's not demented. I'm sorry.
But for him, whatever it is, and he'll say to me, can't we just ask? Can't we just ask?
Yeah.
Can't we just ask if they have that? And then I'm like, no, it's fine. He'll go find a clerk and ask, even still, and then I'll be down that aisle looking. So we think completely different. Everything is connected. You think it's not connected? Look, it's connected to this too.
Okay, men, pay attention. Married men, pay attention.
So shutting us off and cutting us off when we're emoting our feelings to you is connected to this end result. So joyfully sitting there and listening to our conversation leads to, oh, this completely fell off. Uh-oh. Oh, he made sure it was permanently affixed down in
Jesus,
there.
Jesus, help us all.
Good job.
Mary, men.
So our minds think completely differently. We talk our feelings. And ladies, we have to be cautious in understanding ourselves, too. And understanding the man. that they don't communicate the same way. And we can't get frustrated that they don't communicate. They aren't sharing their emotions or their feelings with you. They're not always wanting to take the time to listen. They aren't always sensitive and cuddly and all of that kind of stuff. You know, honestly, you're talking about another female when you're talking like that. And we do not want our husbands to be female. God created man and woman. So we have to be very sensitive when we are communicating through our feelings and our emotions to understand that that's just not how they communicate either. And when we are sometimes emoting with all sorts of energy, see those lights that lit up stuff? Sometimes that's how we emote with energy and feeling.
She emotes all right. And what I find is that if there's something going wrong, let's say at work or in finances, the rest of my world is now affected. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Don't say anything. I was talking to the man. I'm saving you. But you'll find that she'll be up at night sometimes because all of the things that are happening is, I mean, everything is moving together, flowing together. All the thoughts are compiled together. And it's one area of effect is now affecting the entirety. That doesn't work that way for us. Men are different. Say amen. Men are compartmentalization minded. God created this way. We have a box for sports. We have a box for food. We have a box for exercise that's always on the bottom. We have a box for work. We try to keep that nestled in. We have a box for sex. It's a big box. We have a box for fun. We have a box for finances, a box for church, a box for trouble, a box for family. Sadly, the smallest box in most men's lives is the box for God. How a man thinks so different is women are all connected in every aspect. But for the man, you'll find that they can literally come and if they're watching sports, they're not thinking about work. They're in the sports box. Or they're in the finance box. And if you've ever seen a man who's frustrated over finances, he gets a little mean. Amen? He'll be in his family box. Some men are better at that one than others. But when he's in his trouble box, women deal with things differently. Women need to talk through. That's how they decompress. Women decompress by communicating. You know, women
So we need to communicate, but we have to understand, gentlemen, that when we are communicating, first, we're not crazy. Second, we're not asking you to fix anything. Please set yourself free. I know you're our heroes. You are the one that wants to run in and save the day for us. But when we are communicating, we're not asking you to fix anything. We just want somebody to talk to.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Because men only talk to solve things.
You know, I had an old preacher one time. He says, "Do you want to have a long marriage?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "This is what I do." He said, "I get up every morning at 6 a.m. I make her breakfast and I sit there for an hour going like this." He says, "You're going to have the best marriage. Just go like this. Don't say nothing." Now, listen, if your husband tries that or, you know, in relationship, try that. Listen, don't get mad at him. They're learning. Amen. Men are trainable. So a woman, it's all compiled in one, but not a man. So what will happen is literally, they can literally compartmentalize their life. Every box is different in their life. When they come home, they'll get into a certain box that they have. Maybe they're out in the garage or doing something and they're working on a car. To them, that might be fun. That's not fun to me. That's very stressful and I break things. If it's sports, they're sitting there watching television and they're going like this. Click, 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 back and forth. But there's one box a man has that a woman does not have. It's called the nothing box. Now, you can laugh, but this is scientifically proven through the University of Philadelphia. that men, when they decompress, they don't want to talk about it. They need to get into the nothing box. And as they're in this box, we call it peace. We call it peace. When they're in this box, if your wife comes over and says, "Do you want any company?" No, it's my nothing box. If you come in here, it's nothing no more. The studies have actually shown that man is the only creature that has the ability to go brain dead. That's why he's going like this all the time. You're saying, "What are you watching? What are you watching?" Nothing. Why? Because he's in his nothing box. He's decompressing. What's happening is he might have had a difficult time at work, or he's having a difficult time in finances, or a difficult time even with his relationship with God. And he just needs this time to think it through. What happens when they get into this nothing box? They're actually breaking down what their feelings are, what their thoughts are. And they're literally decompressing. And you'll find that it literally brings them to sanity. Where a wife is completely different. She needs to talk through it. She needs to vocalize it. The guy says, "I don't want to talk. Just leave me alone. I just need some peace." Ladies, that's why when your husband walks in the house and you start yelling at him, he turns around to leave. Boy, it got really quiet, didn't it? You see, men need peace. And what happens is they need some time, especially if they come from their work box, they're coming home, and man, all of a sudden, they want to climb into their nothing box to decompress and to get their life back in order, so now they can be in the family box. But all of a sudden, they walk in the door, and "I need you to do this. And the man says, "Leave me alone." Ladies, when your man stops coming home as often as he used to, you might want to give him 30 minutes. Here's a tip. 30 minutes when he walks in the house, and don't say anything. Just give him a remote control. Leave him alone for 30 minutes. That's all he needs, 30 minutes. And men, when your wife is, you just say, "How are you, honey? I love you so much." You start affirming. Right? "You are the best wife I could have ever had. What's going on? I can see you're stressed."
That's actually awesome. That would be wonderful. But if we could each learn the way we think differently and honor those differences, just giving and take the initiative. Be the first, ladies. Let's be the first ones to take the initiative.
No, men. Let's be the first ones.
Us ladies, we're gonna be the first ones.
We will be the first ones.
But it's amazing the healing that can happen rather than the division. In our thinking, it's too easy to be divided, that we're so different, but God made us that way. It's awesome. If we were made the same, then we'd each be in nothing boxes and there'd be no relationship at all, or we'd both be talking at the exact same time and there would be no relationship at all. God knew what he was doing. He
right.
didn't make a mistake. And when we can stop fighting each
yes.
other long enough to simply honor. It's a really easy, and you know, maybe you've never done that to date. Maybe you've not been able to honor that. You just didn't know, or you were confused. Today, it's something that when you choose to do it, it's an immediate
yeah.
response and remedy. It's immediate. So let's ladies, be the first ones to just give them that time. You know, I know there's 100 things you want to tell them from the day, and it's just us being excited. But giving them that time where they can walk through the door and have their nothing box and just decompress.
Selah. It is this important. And what's happened is a lot of relationships are ruined and are contentious simply because of the lack of understanding. You know, we're not taught this. And this is a problem with the church. The church teaches a lot of spiritual things, and I love the spiritual things, but there are practical principles that if you don't apply them, you're going to crash. There's a DVD series, and one of the explanations is, saved or unsaved, if you learn this difference, you can actually have a relationship that is successful. And he says, if you are a Christian and you're driving 100 miles an hour down the road with a Jesus bobblehead and you're playing Christian radio, and the sign says 30 mile an hour curve, it doesn't matter whether you're born again or not born again. If you hit that at 100 miles an hour, you got trouble. And the trouble's coming whether you're saved, whether you got Jesus bobblehead or not. There are principles you have to apply, and the principles are knowing the difference between a man and a woman, because God created two. Amen. And we're different, and that diversity is what brings us to great success. You know, I've learned, men, that when I go shopping, I will complain to you maybe, but I shop with my wife. Now, listen, if you're not married and you're saying, this has nothing to do with me, you get this and you don't have to go through the trouble I went through. Nobody knows. You don't have to go through the hard years that we went through. This is why people say to me, well, you know, I'm not married. This has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you. Yeah. Learn it now. Yeah. You don't have to get a divorce. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I can't tell you how many people that have been divorced have said to me, if I knew that kind of stuff, I would not be divorced today. Mm-hmm. But we're not teaching. And so this is why we want to do this. It's a short series, 6 years long. You know, a short series on marriage. You know, because we need to learn. Because, you know, God, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And God has placed you together for destiny's purpose. Because with you alone, that's one person. But when two of you are together, when two touch one thing, it shall be done. And the enemy despises marriage. He despises family. And some of you are wounded today. You've gone through a very difficult divorce. You've gone through the wounds of being abandoned or rejected or cheated on or some dimension where you've been wounded. And I want you to recognize, you too need to know how God created you. Ladies, if that's you and you've gone through that trauma, then you're going to deal with it differently than a man. A man will actually box up his trauma and try not to bring it to light. Mm-hmm. They won't grieve. They'll hide it. Mm-hmm. They'll get into their nothing box and they'll try to wipe it away, but it's still there. They still need to create a new box to get healing from. And ladies, what happens to some of you is you get in this wound and all of a sudden now it's affecting every aspect of your life. Yeah. Every area is now being infected. We've got to know how God created us, because God wants us successful, because our children need to see success.
Yes.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Our families are not seeing enough successful families to pattern after.
Yeah.
Do you want to know the greatest compliment your children can give you? Is, I want a relationship like you and mom or dad have. There's no greater compliment than saying, I want to pattern my relationship after your relationship. And the only way to make that happen is purposeful. Amen.
Amen.
You cannot go to McDonald's today and get hired to make the burgers without seeing a series of videos. Why? They want you to make the burgers correctly. But many people have gotten married without any premarital counseling. So they're putting together the box, they're putting together the marriage by what they know their parents have taught them. I had a great mom. My ma is awesome. My ma, stand up and wave at everybody. She wasn't a good spanker. She tried, but she wasn't good. But I will tell you that the relationship, I'm dancing a little. The relationship on the other side of the fence was challenging. And when I got married, the only way I knew how to treat Rhonda was how I was trained. And I want you to know that I was a very bad husband. Very bad. I wasn't a bad husband. I was a...
But you're not anymore. You're the best. You're awesome. It was only like 3 or 4 years. That's it. And we've been married 29. That's a lot of awesomeness from you as a husband.
But we can't think that we're going to be successful in our relationships. Whether you're married or not, I'm talking like boyfriend, girlfriend. I'm talking like mother, father. I'm talking like friends.
Yeah.
If your friend is of the opposite sex, you can't think the same way. You can't anticipate them to think the same way you think. To be successful, we must understand that God created male and female. And they're wildly different.
Yes.
But beautifully different. Compiled together.
Amen.
Amen. My wife is phenomenal. I honestly, gentlemen, when your wife grows into this, because we grew into this, and to where when I'm really struggling, she'll do that. Now, when I was a bad husband, you know what she told me? This is what she did. You are the best husband. You know what? I'm so thankful that you're sensitive to my needs, that you care about who I really am. And I'd look at her, I'd twist my head, I said, well, that's not me at all. And she said, I'm prophesying into your life. Sometimes, ladies, you just got to prophesy into your husband's life. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes you got to prophesy and declare what you believe God wants them to be. This is where we grow together. But my concern is not just us knowing the differences that God has created, but also making sure that the wounds that we're carrying can be healed. We live in a world that causes damage.
Yeah. Amen.
We live in a world with emotional scars. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, ladies, if you're walking around with an emotional scar, let's say in your family growing up, and it's completely surrounded now in every compartment of your life, your marriage can't be healthy. Amen. Boy, that got quiet. Amen. Amen. Your relationships cannot be healthy. Because that one infection is now infecting the whole. It's called sepsis. But with a man, we do it worse. We just go to our nothing box. Tell him to leave us alone. I'll deal with it on my own. Don't bother me. And we're not fixing anything. We're hiding it. And we've got to be individuals that are going to step up and truly get healed. Amen? Men, you need to be healed in your heart. Men, you need to be healed in your thinking. Men, you need to be healed from the wounds of a divorce or the wounds of parental abuse or divorce. We can go through the list of all the different wounds that you've carried. You've got to get healed. Why? Because we've got to provide for our spouse, the opposite sex, what they need from us. God created us this way to meet each other's needs. And so if we're not healed up, well, the old statement is, hurting people hurt people. And so we're constantly walking around causing each other abuse. And that produces nothing. I remember one time we were in the car. The kids were young. And her and I started arguing. That was before I became smart. You always lose, right, men? You always lose, right, men? Do you know what we heard from the back seat? Will you guys stop arguing? I had a parent come up to me one time and said that they and their spouse were fighting a lot, and their child came up and asked them, are you getting a divorce? Not that I like Dr. Phil and listen to him. But back way back when he was on Oprah's show, he made a statement that has stuck with me. That was probably 15 years ago. He said this: the cruelest thing parents can do is argue in front of their children. Because the only stable environment they have is home. So when home is unhealthy, it completely flips their world. We are different. God created us different. The diversity is our strength, not our weakness. And God created us to be successful in our relationships. But we can't be successful without the right tools. And today I want you to celebrate. You know what I do, guys? I go to the mall with her. I complain to you, but I don't to her. We start at JCPenney's.
That's at our mall because it's the only thing we have.
Then we walk by all the little shops, but we stop and get coffee, and then we'll stop somewhere else, and I'll just stand there, and I won't say a word. I think I shared it a few weeks ago. She went through the entire mall, found nothing. How could you find nothing? And then she said, let's go to Talbot's. And I'm thinking in my head, no! And I said, sure, honey, whatever you want to do. We went to Talbot's. I walked in. Thank God they have a chair just for men. And I sat in that chair. She said, how does this look? Great. She said, you didn't even look. And I said, but it looks great. You learn to meet each other's needs. But if you don't know, you can't. And if you're going to go to the next level in your relationship, you've got to learn that the differences that God has made within us are awesome because they bring balance to your life. Amen?
Amen.
A high government official with not a good wife walks around angry all the time. A wife in a high governmental position without a good husband will hit the nuclear bomb button and we'll all die. Was that a bad example? That's just spoken from a guy. My question to you is this. Some of you are still wounded. You're wounded from your past. Past relationships, mom and dad, the differences that are there. And you've never been healed up. Some of you have been walking, you've been the walking wounded for 50, 60 years. And you deserve to be healed. You deserve to be healthy inside. You deserve to sleep well. Can I hear an amen? You deserve to have sanity. And even in the way God created the woman's brain, to have health. Gentlemen, you deserve to be healthy. Instead of always hiding, it's time to get healed. It's not macho not to be healed. It's actually demeaning. Because what happens is you can't treat people right. So today, I just want to give us an opportunity. Next week, we're going to get into what women need from men. Gonna be a good week.
Amen.
The week after, what men need from women. Listen, all of us know people that are struggling in their marriages that aren't born again. Listen, you don't even need a bobblehead. You need the principles. These are God principles. So if you know somebody struggling in their marriage, you need to bring them next week. You need to have them watch this and then bring them next week. Saved or unsaved, let's fill this house. We need people with healthy relationships. Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He's the healer. See, you can go to a psychiatrist, you can go to a psychologist, you can go to a counselor, and I believe in essence in all of them, but remember, they can only help the soul. They can't heal the heart. The medication they'll put you on can only mask the wound, not heal the wound. This is why you need Jesus. This is why Christ came, to heal the brokenhearted. This is why Christ came, that you be whole. He did not come so that you could be part and just go to heaven, but he came that you be whole in your intellect, your emotions, in your will, in your soul, in your body, that you be a healthy person all the way around. So today there are people in this room that don't know Jesus as your Savior. And today I don't have a religion for you to join. I don't have a church for you to join. I want you to know Christ, who can bring healing to your life and wholeness to your life, so that you can walk and talk and be healthy with people. Today, if you need Jesus as your Savior, you want him in your life, you want to become a whole person, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. Is there anyone in the room this morning that would like Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior? I'm not going to wait real long. Come on, get your hand up. 5. Come on, get your hand up. 4. 1. Today, I'd like us all to stand. And I know this is a unique kind of message. But what I want to do is have the prayer team come to the front of the altar, if they could do that right now. I'm going to have Mindy come on over here and come. Today, if you did not raise your hand, but you do want Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, Mindy's going to be standing right here waiting for you. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, if you want to go, give your heart to the Lord, I'll go with you. Turn to someone, tell them that right now. You can do it. Go ahead. Turn to someone next to you and say, if you want to give your heart to Jesus, I'll go up with you. And you're saying, but I know them. Then sit with somebody different next week. Mindy's right here for that. But today, if you recognize that you're broken, your box is broken, and you need healing to come to your life, this prayer team is going to pray with you this morning. We're going to see God restore you. I know God can restore you. I know that. How? Because I am that person. I was able and learned and was healed to where I could treat my wife proper and see great things. We have a great relationship. I actually like my wife after 29 years. Look at another man isn't my best friend. She is my best friend. And I'm not just saying that. I really like spending time with her more than anybody else. We need to recognize these are the relationship God wants to do. And if you need healing, we're going to give you opportunity for that this morning. Amen. Can we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for your faithfulness in restoring your church, restoring your family, restoring and bringing healing to our hearts and our minds. And God, today we recognize that we are different. Thank you, Jesus, for making us different. Thank you for creating male and female. Lord, we come against even the teaching on this earth right now that, Lord's trying to mix up what you called good. We bind the spirit of division. We bind the spirit of confusion. We bind the spirit of that level of diversity. And we declare, God, that your truth shall march on. Lord, we ask that you bring healing to all of our hearts. All of us have a wound somewhere. That, God, we can be in better relationships, married or not married, friends and foe, that relationships can be restored and healed. And then we can walk as one, the body of Christ, in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, all those that come to the front of the altar, I thank you that you supernaturally are going to heal the brokenhearted, that you are going to restore people, Jesus. You're going to restore marriages. I declare it in Jesus' name. Marriages to be restored. Relationships, God. They might be living under the same house, but God, they have not been together for a long time. I declare in Jesus' name, restoration in relationships. Restoration in friendships. Restoration, God. And even just simple understanding while they're at work. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. If you need prayer, the prayer team's here. I love you. Thank you so much. Make sure you bring somebody next week. God will touch their lives. These are practical principles of success.